Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, annual layoff immunization, part 2 of 2. Hi everyone, this is Mike, and welcome back to Manager Tools. Today we finish up part 2 of our 2-part series on the annual layoff immunization. As always, if you haven't heard the first one, you might want to go back to last week's and listen to that first. So, with that, let's get right to it. Here we go. So it's okay. So let's go on. Let's talk about the printed recruiters list. Now, I know it's not overkill because we're talking about it separately, but I think most folks would say, wait, you just recommended we print out our contacts. Didn't I just do that?
Yeah. You know, when I was going over this and I saw the top three, I kind of went, man, people are going to think, it's overkill. But look, that would work if managers kept their recruiting firm contacts in their contact database. But in my experience, managers don't. You know, okay, look, day to day, I get it. One manager whose contact list was pretty complete didn't have the recruiters in it, and he said, look, I don't need it. They call here every dang day, right?
Right.
Look, other people are worried about the whole issue in the same way they're worried about having their resume on their desk. They're worried about a name being known to somebody else and it being a recruiter's name. You see a lot of recruiter numbers without a name on it, and certainly without a firm name on it. In other words, the company they work for in managers' desk drawers. They are rarely, if ever, in Outlook, right?
Right.
That's for sure. But for some reason, and I think fear mainly, I'm not saying it's wrong, it just is, recruiters don't get captured the right way, and then when we need them most, ugh. Again.
Yeah, it both makes sense and is completely counterproductive.
Yeah, we understand why you're doing it. It's okay to do it. Just don't complain when the reason you've been doing it up until the time you're laid off suddenly becomes counterproductive, to use Mike's word, once you've been laid off. And look, and this gives me an opportunity to talk about something else. If we mention immunizing oneself from the pain of a layoff, we cannot fail to mention one of the very best books on our reading list about career searches.
Yeah, John Lucht, right?
Yeah. Rites of Passage at $100,000 plus, the second edition. It is rare for me to find a book that is so good that I say, don't read any other book about this topic ever, but this is it. It is the single best specialty book on our list. It's the only book we have ever recommended, and I have ever recommended in the last 20 years since it came out, when it comes to career changing and job searching and interviewing. It is comprehensive. It is clear. It is the book we wish we had enough experience and were smart enough to write. It is that good.
Yeah. In fact, we like the book so much that we're seriously considering making John our first ever interview on the show. Recently, a mutual listener of ours, of both John Lux and ours, made contact with us, made the introduction, and we had a great conversation with John. And not only is he incredibly smart,
I fawned all over him. John's the best book I ever read.
Because you feel that way. And John is just a great guy. I mean, what a class act.
And here's the thing about the book. You don't want to be reading it or buying it after you've been laid off. You want to know it when you've been laid off. And if you've read through it once, at some point in your career, it's much easier to go back to it and look at the dog ears and the underlines and the highlights and so on. But if you're reading it for the first time, you're probably panicking. You don't want to spend that $30 or $25 or whatever it is. And it's still the best investment, less than $100 you can spend regarding a job search.
Yeah. So just to be clear, folks, what we're saying is buy the book now. Now.
Now. Can you be more clear about time frame, Mike?
Now. I'm sure we're going to have some traffic in the forums, and we encourage those who have read it to share their opinions, and maybe that will encourage some of the foot draggers out there to get in step and buy it now.
Yeah, now. Okay, clear on that. And I have another little gem of a recommendation here as well. It's not on our reading list. We probably ought to put it there. It's the Kennedy book. If you just search Kennedy and recruiters, you will come up on the book. It lists in incredible detail every recruiting firm in the United States, by the way, most of whom have overseas offices, and some of which are foreign firms that have U.S. offices, industry specializations, contact information, geographic reach, everything. It's a gigantic, big, thick red book. I think it's $60. And if you don't have it when you get laid off, it would be easy to not buy it for that reason. But I still think that would be a mistake. So plop down the cash now.
Oh, there's that now.
You can thank us
again
later. Totally well worth it at twice the price.
Cool. All right. Now, metric time. What's a metric
here?
I'm
sorry. I said the Kennedy book. I just call it the Kennedy book. In fact, I asked staff, just bring me the Kennedy book. It's the Directory of Executive Recruiters. And it comes out every year, every other year. I think the latest one is 2007, 2008, actually.
Excellent. Okay. And the metric. What's the metric?
Oh, okay. Easy. Three or more recruiters' names, firm names, phone numbers, email address, physical address, history of your conversations with them, printed out, at home. Current, within 3 months, not 6 months, 3 months, because their lives are very busy and they will have forgotten you if you talked to them once 6 months ago. And so when I say current, we mean you've spoke with them in the past 90 days and you know that the contact information is accurate. And quite frankly, when it comes to that industry, there's much more flux and flow in terms of personnel and they move around. And consequently, it tends to the rate of decay of your contact information for executive recruiters is much faster than those who are not recruiters.
Yeah. And this should remind you about or bring up the question in your mind about how to interact and have relationships with executive recruiters. And if you don't know, then you can go refer back to a podcast we did some time ago. I can't remember when it was, but sometime back.
Wouldn't it be great? I mean, wouldn't that be great? I bet there's somebody listening to this right now and go, gosh, I wonder if they have a podcast about how to work with recruiters or, you know, that would be great if somebody did something like that.
Yeah. Go to the website.
Yeah.
Okay.
What
about number three? Home individual email list. What's that?
Yeah. In the same vein as above. And I'm probably, again, I understand people may say, I've already got that. Okay, fine. But look, the ubiquity of email really becomes a bane for a lot of people here. It's so much a part of people's work lives. I've actually heard of offices closing and in other places, people going home because email is down. I mean, I think that's stupid, but whatever. It's like air. You know, it's there. You need it. You don't see it. You don't think about it. You don't worry about its absence. And then it's gone. And pardon the word and the pun, but now you're sucking.
All of this really falls into the whole, hey, you've got to understand where this stuff is. And how much of it is at work or tied to work assets that you don't control, even though you think you control them, but you don't.
Yeah. Now, look, if you've got a laptop that you can bring home and hive off whatever file you need and then print that out, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But people just don't, you know, the whole blurring of work and home, which in many ways is good and many ways is not, has made this much more difficult for most managers. You alluded to it about the people who are most loyal and work hardest. They don't want to make a distinction. They don't want to keep their lives separate. 50 years ago, people expected their lives to be separate. Okay. It makes it much more difficult for most managers, exactly, you know, to be ready for a layoff when you don't even think about the fact that the laptop you use and the phone you use and all kinds of things are making an airline reservation. Somebody said to me the other day, I'm on my own now. I don't even have to make an airline reservation. I've had people doing it for years. Like, wow. Okay. A good classic example I alluded to it earlier, I think, or you did, is cell phones. If I were to ask anybody at Procter or Intel or AT&T or Citibank, whose cell phone is that, while pointing at the one they were using, they would say, it's mine.
Yeah, but it's not, right? It's the companies.
And, yeah.
And it's got a lot of stuff in it, even if it's the wrong stuff, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, a bunch of cell phone numbers, but that's not enough. It's a start. But again, you don't want that first call to be, would you help me rebuild my contact database, please?
or get one of those Plaxo emails or whatever.
There you go. Yeah.
Which I cannot stand, by the way.
Oh, every once in a while, I get a note saying, will you please verify that all of your information is up to date?
I immediately delete those things. I cannot tell you how much I cannot stand them.
While back, before we switched to Max, I actually had a rule in Outlook, and I should probably recreate it in Entourage because a lot of people want to connect to us. And it says, if there's a note that has these words in it, and I had archived a couple of emails that were, you know, from various sources, if they have these words in them, don't put them in junk. Delete them. Just delete them immediately. I don't know. The idea that we're all supposed to, it's a bit like everyone's staring at this person all the time, waiting for that other person to say, what do you need me to do for you now? Like, yeah. Wow. Okay. Look,
I'm sure we'll get a bunch of hate mail on that, but yeah, folks, okay. let us know. Maybe we're just old, yep. old tired men yep. who just Could can't be. Get with the new thing, but
maybe not. Okay. Managers, you need the email address of everyone you might contact printed out somewhere at home. Printed on a piece of paper at home. Not in your briefcase. Not in your backpack that you leave on your desk to be gone through by security when you are in your boss's office being laid off. Not on a thumb drive to be taken from your desk because it could have IP on it. Not in a zipped file somewhere ready to be emailed because you're certain to get wind of it and email it to a home email address.
Okay, so let me guess here. So printed at home.
Physically printed, readable by someone under the age of 12 in your home. Look, if you have every email address of every contact you have in your printed list, well then fine, you're there. Okay? But we find that's not so in a lot of cases. And by the way, there's a flip side. Let me just a little detour here. There's a flip side to this. For those of you who, in my experience, tend to be a little younger, having only email addresses is also a problem. Having a phone number is one thing without an email address. Having an email address without a phone number, it's the same problem. You need, folks, an address book, not an email address book or a phone book. And the definition of an address book is a way to get in contact with someone.
Yeah, and for all you techies out there, and let me address you specifically directly, because I know exactly what you're thinking. Nobody prints anything out anymore. Why do they keep talking about printing things out? This is silly. Digital media rock. And
right.
You're right. And you're right. So long as you have provenance over the hardware and access to the software where the digital media are, but too many of you don't, and then you cry, and then we have to listen to you. So stop trumpeting that information wants to be free, and digital is fine, and who wants paper, and it's hard to keep current. Just print the stuff out, please. You'll be good even in a power outage, which is kind of how you'll feel in a layoff anyway. So,
you rock, partner. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we understand there are all kinds of reasons for why everyone out there hasn't done this. We understand it. We're not saying you're wrong. We're telling you, you will feel wrong like hundreds of our friends and associates when you have not done it at that time.
Yep. Okay. So what's the metrics here?
Easy. Printed. On paper. At home.
How current? What about the time?
Oh, 180 days. Again, these are not recruiters, so 180 days.
180 days. Okay. 180 days printed on paper at home.
Yeah. Cool. And I just want to mention one thing about, you know, we're talking about printed individual email list. We alluded to this earlier, and I don't quite know. I'm afraid people are going to not like this idea, but I just want to be clear about something. You are so used to typing email addresses on work computers. And in doing so, you have something filling in your email addresses for you. You just don't realize how much software behind the scenes makes your life easier. And so we address the techies directly, and at the same time we bow to you. We love all the technology in our lives. And you don't realize how bad it is. You've got to have it printed out somewhere because you're going to be using your home email address. And those email addresses that you're going to be sending emails from your home email address will not automatically populate. And you're going to have to know them and type them out the first time or enter them into your home computer, into the contact database there.
Yeah.
And most people don't go by Outlook. And I know a lot of managers say, I'll never use Outlook Express. So we really, truly believe, having seen 100 people go through this, you've got to have it printed out.
Excellent. So now our fourth bit of guidance, home delivery or access to business news.
Yep. This is another one of those areas that is really adversely affected by the melding, the boundary blurring, I think I called it earlier, between work and home. You have to ask yourself, how do I get my business, industry, and trade news? Who pays for it? Where is it delivered? What form is it delivered in? If you read the Wall Street Journal online at work, this may be a problem for you. And for those of you who don't read any business papers and don't read any magazines and don't read any trade news and so on, well, just skip this step because you're going to regret it. And you've got two steps. You need to start doing that and then you need to start doing this. But we're not going to go back and revisit the whole, you need to be professionally engaged with the community of professionals that are in your industry and in your trade group and in your company and so on. But look, if you're a copy of the Wall Street Journal, please tell us you're reading the Wall Street Journal if you're in the U.S. or The Economist for parts of Europe. If your copy of your business news source is delivered to the office, that's nice for when you still get to go to your office. If it does go to the office and you have no interest in doubling up on a home subscription, fine. We're okay with that. Subscribe to the online edition. It's a great rate of $79 U.S., I think. If you've got industry or trade magazines, and we pray that you do, a wise manager, tools manager, ask yourself if you can get them delivered at home. One thing I know many folks do is give themselves their own personal gift subscription, leveraging the company's existing subscription, and you get it for half price or something like that for the first year. But you have to have that done before you get laid off. You pay for it yourself. But again, you get that better rate.
Okay, so do we have any metrics in this area? I'm sure we do.
Yeah, we do. And some interesting twists here, actually, that I think might surprise people. The metrics are these. 3 sources of news delivered to your home. 1 source for general business news. 1 source for industry or trade news. Again, delivered to your home. And finally, a source for world, national, political, and economic news, essentially a local or a national paper. Okay, but there are some twists here. There are 3 twists, and we're serious about them, okay? First, if you choose to get your news online, that's fine, okay? But you must set up a recurring task to check it at least every 48 hours. Having a subscription to the Wall Street Journal, as an example, that you never check defeats the purpose. Okay. 2, if you get your national news in the United States anyway from TV, you lose a point and you have to supplement your news gathering in some other way. Lou Dobbs or Keith Olbermann or the Today Show are not covering what you want to know, nor are they covering it well. You're welcome to watch. Look, go ahead, watch. Though we'd love to be competing with you if you believe that that's news. I would argue that CNBC and the financial channels also fall into this category of non-news, unless you work in the markets, which broadly we'll define as Wall Street in the U.S. or the city in London. Okay? Finally, I know several managers who use email alerts, RSS feeds provided by corporate subscriptions. I would not bet the farm on these, but sometimes you can keep them coming to a personal email address or an RSS reader that you can get from home, obviously web-enabled and so on. Just don't complain if it stops and don't count that toward your metrics. In other words, we're not saying don't do those. We're saying if you do those, consider those in addition, and bless you, you're smart and you're leveraging as much technology as you can. In some cases, what I recommend is going in and fiddling with your subscription online while you have it and having it able to be done from home or from a different IP or what have you. Again, that's a great addition. We like that way of gathering news, of more focused, more targeted. I think a lot of it's for free and it shouldn't be a problem for you to get it. There are certainly podcasts and so on, although I've listened to a lot of podcasts in the last 6 months or so, and I don't know that I'd want to get my news from them. But that is in addition to the three sources of news delivered to your home: business news, industry trade news, and then national political economic news. And let me just say why. You don't want to be in a phone conversation about the market or about your job search and have somebody say, yeah, what did you think about XYZ? Sorry, I didn't catch that. God, it's all everybody's talking about at work. If they're a friend of yours, they're going to be okay with it, but it is going to enhance their perception that you are different than them right now. The worst thing in the world would be somebody say, look, if I need to bring you my Wall Street Journal every night, I'll bring it to you the next day. Just come by the house and grab it. I'll leave it in the mailbox or the day old one. And you're like, geez, man, now I'm taking charity from friends rather than staying current on stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's make that point. It goes without saying probably, but I'm going to say it anyways. The whole thing here is not just to have access to the Wall Street Journal and all these sources of news when you get laid off. The point is you have to be current. You have to be reading it every day or every other day so that when you are laid off, you are current. You can't get current by going through 6 months worth of the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. And in addition to news, in addition to business news, like a company takeover or something like that, there's also the issue of political, economic, national news. And the reason for that is really simple. You need that during the introductory portion of your interview. And if you haven't been reading about it, then you're not ready to have that chit chat. It may not be related to your work or the job at all, but it's cultural information. It's current social information, which companies expect you to have when you're interviewing.
Now, you mentioned the introductory part of the interview, but even prior to that is a resume. So we're actually going to remind everyone about having a current resume here, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And to tell you the truth, of course, I mean, look at it. All the rest of this stuff is just window dressing without a resume, because that's the first thing people are going to ask. Your friends are going to ask you for it. You're going to think, well, I need to have a resume for when I go to interview or apply online. Nope. The first thing your friends are going to ask is, hey, send me a resume. And if they're smart, your friends will also ask, what do you want to do and where do you want to do it? Be ready with a resume and be ready with the answer to the question of what do you want to do and where do you want to do it? Your resume is your core, the fundamental career results capture document. And if you fail to have an updated one, as easy as it is to keep it updated, it's painful medicine to have to do it when you wish you had it. And the worst thing in the world is to get laid off on Monday. On Tuesday, have somebody say, gosh, you know, it's kind of too bad about the layoff, but let me tell you, I have been thinking about a job working for me that you would be perfect for. Please, can you get me your resume right away? I'd like to slip it in under the wire. And you say, yeah, how about tomorrow? Oh, God, can you have it today? And let me tell you, if you're talking to someone like Mike or I, the first thing I think is the guy wasn't ready. She wasn't ready. She didn't have the resume ready. All you have to do is that 30 minutes every 90 days, 30 minutes every 90 days. We recommended this in our resume cast to keep it current. And then in 15 minutes, once you're laid off, you can have it totally up to date.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we probably ought to refer everyone to, I think your resume stinks, I think is the name of the cast.
Yeah, it is.
We're trying to be cute back then, but, and it was one of our most popular ever, I think. So,
yep.
But rather than give you the soapbox, which I rapidly pull out from under you, maybe we can just talk about the metrics and then folks can go back to the cast if they want more details.
Great idea. Yeah, we don't need to revisit the whole resume thing. Here they are, mini reprised, as I'm sure everyone and quite well known to many people. One page. Let's not argue. One page. a home email address that is professional. You know, mark.h@gmail.com or something like that. Not your family's Okay. Next, personal unshared cell phone number on the resume with a professional voicemail message associated with it. That's the phone number you put on your resume. And yes, we recommend you go buy a new cell phone if you're thinking about using your wife's or your husband's or taking it away from your kids. Reverse chronological format. Let's not argue. Responsibilities for each job in prose and accomplishments as bullets for each job. Accomplishments start usually with action verbs. No, I repeat again in a different language. No, nein, yet, all that stuff. No, qualifications or summary section at the top. And current job entirely up to date within 48 hours of your job loss.
Wow. Okay, just that? Well, that should be easy.
Unfortunately, based on the data, you and I know it's not. I mean, look, I mean, you'd say something's easy, and then you ask 50 people if they've done it, and everybody says no. Well, okay, it must not be easy, or you don't care. But everybody cares when they've gotten laid off.
Yeah, then they care.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so do I have to start that whole now thing again, or?
No,
so you start could. Caring now.
Yeah. Now. Now is good.
Now is good.
Okay. I heard a great story. There's a guy, pro football coach. I think he's maybe no longer a pro football coach. They have even shorter timelines than recruiters. And he didn't wear a watch. Steve Mariucci, the former coach of your favorite San Francisco 49ers. And he didn't wear a watch. And people thought, my gosh, here's a guy whose time is of the essence and so on. He says, I don't wear a watch. I'll tell you what time it is. The time is now. It's always now.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a great overview of what I think is absolutely a necessary career management tactic: manage your tools, annual layoff immunization every year.
Yeah, people. I don't think people realize that part of managing your career is having insurance or immunizing yourself against something that's very real, even if you're a top performer.
Yeah, insurance. It's another good way to look at it.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So we had five key recommendations. So what were they? Real quickly, just review them real quick for us.
A printed contacts list, printed out at home, 100 people on it, internal and external people, printed out at home. A printed recruiters list. We mentioned this separately because recruiters, for some reason, don't make people's lists of contacts, or worse, they're at the office. And again, printed out at home. We need 3+ recruiters on that list. Name, address, phone number, email, multiple phone numbers, firm name, and so on. A home individual email list, which may be part of your contact list as long as it's printed and you have emails for everybody. Again, printed at home. Home delivery, number 4, is home delivery or access to business news. Too many people get business news and they take for granted the source, and it comes through work, and when they get laid off, they don't have a source for it. And there needs to be 3, one for business news, general business news, one for local, national, political, economic news, and another one for trade and industry news. And ideally, those are on paper. And at a source you control that you're paying for. We are okay with online versions, but you want to be sure that you're paying for it directly. And then lastly, a current resume, which I could talk about for hours, but we won't revisit the Your Resume Stinks cast.
Yeah,
your resume should be current, period.
Yeah, you can talk about it for hours, and we have talked about it for hours.
Yes, we have. Yes.
Both on the interviewing series podcast as well as the Your Resume Stinks. So yeah, yep. You don't need to do it again. And folks, if you want more, go listen to it.
Yep.
All right, my friend. Super. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Partner.
All righty. We'll see ya. Well, there you go, everyone. That finishes up our annual layoff immunization series. Hope you find that useful. We'd love to hear what you think. So join us on the discussion forums, www.managertools.com/forums. We'll see you all there. So long, folks. See you next week.